and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
You doing all right? Awesome. Man, incredible to be here. Go ahead and have your seats. What an incredible weekend we've had. What an incredible couple days together. I heard Pastor Chrissy just like preach the house down this morning. Andrew said, you know your wife's anointed when you respond to her own altar calls. I mean, just don't do it too often. She'll start doing it at the house and everywhere. It'll be like, you're out of control. Man, so good to see everybody. This is incredible. I'm just going to tell you, this is really rare what's happened in this room right now. That on a holiday weekend, after a weekend of conference, when the rugby grand final is on, right? You have this many people in church on Sunday night. Come on, why don't you give yourself a hand? Come on, that's awesome. It's awesome. There's hunger in the room. It's exciting. I get excited when there's hunger in the room because that means that God is about to respond. Because God always responds to hunger. And so this type of hunger, man, I'm telling you, you just need to buckle up because God's about to do something so special tonight that I really believe for some of you, you've been waiting for your breakthrough. And I can't remember who said it this weekend, but someone mentioned maybe you've been waiting and waiting and you haven't got your touch yet or you haven't had your breakthrough yet. I really believe this. I believe tonight's your night. I really do. And I think it's going to look a little different than maybe what you think it is, but I believe that God is going to set people free tonight. I really do. Walk in 100%, not just freedom in a moment, freedom to dance, freedom to worship, but I mean like going home, like waking up tomorrow morning and being free. And it's been such an honor just to get to know your team. Your pastors, they're incredible. I thought Pastor Brad was great, but then met Pastor Allison, and it's like, how amazing is Pastor Allison? I mean, she's just authority, smart. It's like, man, they are the definition of a power couple. That's what it looks like right there. That's what it is. And I'm just so honored to be here. It's just been an incredible time. I'm going home. I go home on Tuesday, and I'm going home enlarged myself, spiritually and physically, because we've eaten a lot of great food. So I'm gonna be hitting the treadmill this week and burn some of those carbs off. It's been so neat to meet many of your team. The hospitality of your church is absolutely incredible. The honor that you guys walk in and you carry. I just want to commend you for creating an atmosphere and a culture that is so easy to come into, so easy to preach to, so easy to be a part of. And I've got to meet some of the board and some of your leaders. And Pastor Tim and Lloyd, they got me right. They told me what boots to get. So I found out what to do, some Australian boots. And it's awesome. And it is such an honor to be here. At home, we would call this fourth quarter. Because we play American football. It's a little different, four quarters. Is it four quarters in rugby? No? See, yeah, it doesn't work. So we're off to a great start tonight. In American football, the four quarters, fourth quarter means like it's the last one, right? And so you've been through all the sessions. Many of you have been here. Some of you were all the sessions. You were here this morning and you're here tonight. Some of the staff, man, all the staff and the volunteers you serve all weekend, you are incredible. I'm going to tell you, God has something special for you tonight. I really believe that. All the pouring out, God has something so special. It's going to be incredible. Andrew, thank you so much. He's blessed us. He's driven us around. And just incredible. Mighty man of God, wisdom. We were talking revelation. He was giving me insight on my message. I preached better after talking to him. So I'm like, oh, that's good. I'm gonna steal that. And tonight is a tribute to him. We've discussed it in the car. We've worked it out. We've prepared together. And I think it's going to bless you. But I want to speak from the subject, actually, that might sound a little interesting. And I'm going to preach a message that I believe is actually a little bit more of a heart cry than it is actually a structured message. You've heard phenomenal preaching all weekend. You've heard phenomenal message. I feel like tonight my assignment is way more pastoral than it is rah-rah, which I love the rah-rah, and so I like tried to went to every person. I'm like, I think I should do a different message. And it's a little more rah-rah, but the Holy Spirit just kept on confirming, even through worship, that this is the direction that we need to go. So I believe God's trying to do something tonight. How many know that God's trying to speak to us? It's not about if he's speaking, it's if we're listening. And so we're going to open our ears to hear. And I know many people that have worked all weekend, you're tired. I want to encourage you, just press through just a little bit longer. Just press through a little bit longer. And God's going to do something so special. So I'm going to speak from the subject better than blessed. Not just blessed. Better than blessed. Not just like halfway blessed, better than blessed. You know, it's interesting when you come to church, like you ask people how they're doing. Christians are the worst, right? I mean, they're the absolute worst. We're the worst hypocrites out there. They ask them how they're doing. They're on their way to church. They've cussed their kids out. You know, they're angry. They have road rage. They stole somebody's parking spot. And so they come in the church. They put a smile on their face. You ask them how they are, and they say, blessed. How are you, brother? I'm blessed. I mean, you could be angry. You can be on the brink of depression. You can be a sinner. You can be a God hater. But when you come in, you slap the smile on your face in the church. The music starts going. You start worshiping. Some of you got like the intense worship pose going. Like you're really spiritual. In your mind, you're doubting God, but you got this going. And if someone asks you how you're doing, and you say, blessed. I'm blessed. I want to talk to you about being better than blessed. Better than blessed. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures because Pastor Chris Estrada, he preached last night and he read a big chunk, but I'm going to read more so that like I'm more spiritual than he is. Is that all right? And make sure you let him know that I read more scriptures than he does. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. I'm going to read in the Message translation. It's a paraphrase translation. And it says this: Naaman was general of the army under the king of Aram. He was important to his master, who held him in the highest esteem because it was by him that God had given victory to Aram. He was a truly great man, but afflicted with a grievous skin disease. Pause. He was a great man, but he was afflicted by a grievous skin disease. Did you know that everybody has a butt? Both physically and spiritually, emotionally, we all have this, we have this great side of us, but this was Naaman. It says that he was a great man, but he had a grievous skin disease. I have a great marriage, but I have a great job, but I have a great life, but I love my church, but I love my pastors, but we all have a but. Let's read on before I get in trouble here. A truly great man, but afflicted with a grievous skin disease. It so happened that Aram, on one of its raiding expeditions against Israel, captured a young girl who became a maid to Naaman's wife. One day she said to her mistress, "Oh, if only my master could meet the prophet of Samaria, he would be healed of his skin disease." Naaman went straight to his master and reported what the girl from Israel had said. "Well, then go," said the king of Aram, "and I'll send a letter of introduction to the king of Israel." So he went off, taking with him about 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold. They didn't have cars, trailers, U-Hauls. Like, this is like on the chariot. It's a lot of weight. He says, and 10 sets of clothes. He liked fashion, apparently. He's on his options. Naaman delivered the letter to the king of Israel. The letter read, "When you get this letter, you'll know that I personally sent my servant Naaman to you. Heal him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he was terribly upset, ripping his robe to pieces. He said, "Am I a god with the power to bring death or life that I get orders to heal this man from his disease? What's going on here? That king's trying to pick a fight." That's what. Elisha, the man of God, heard what had happened, that the king of Israel was so distressed that he ripped his robe to shreds. He sent word to the king, "Why are you so upset, ripping your robe like this? Send him to me so he'll learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman with his horses and chariots arrived in style and stopped at Elisha's door. I love that he arrived in style. Anybody like to arrive in style? It's like he might have a grievous skin disease, but he's showing up in style. And he stopped at Elisha's door. Elisha sent out a servant. Elisha didn't even go to the door. Elisha sent out a servant to meet him with this message: go to the River Jordan and immerse yourself 7 times. Your skin will be healed and you'll be as good as new. Naaman lost his temper. He turned on his heel, saying, I thought he'd personally come out and meet me, call on the name of God, wave his hand over the diseased spot, and get rid of the disease. The Damascus rivers, the Abana, and the Farfar are cleaner by far than any of the rivers in Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'd at least get clean. He stomped off, like the Message translation, mad as a hornet. But his servants caught up with him and said, Father, if the prophet had asked you to do something hard and heroic, wouldn't you have done it? So why not this simple, wash and be clean? So he did it. He went down. He immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times, following the orders of the holy man, and his skin was healed. It was like the skin of a little baby. He was as good as new. Somebody say, better than blessed. Better than blessed. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk better than blessed, because Naaman was a leper. In those days, specifically in the Old Testament, the leprosy was one of the most feared diseases, because leprosy had came with it a death sentence. You wouldn't die immediately, but eventually you would die. Leprosy would make you unclean. Unclean meant that you lived in isolation. That if you had leprosy, you could not come in contact with other people, or else you would make them unclean. Because it wasn't until Jesus came, the first clean person that touched the unclean person, that made the unclean person clean. He's the only one. Other than that, if an unclean person touches a clean person, the clean person becomes unclean. So he has leprosy. He is afflicted. But he is also a warrior. The Bible teaches us that because he fought for the king of Syria, that they made a pass or made an excuse for his leprosy. Most theologians believe that they kept it as a secret. That Naaman had leprosy, but the men that he was leading did not know. Leprosy would so take over your body that it would disintegrate your muscles and your ligaments, and eventually your limbs would fall off. That's why you see pictures of lepers and they're bound up like mummies, because they're literally holding their limbs together. So it was only a matter of time before Naaman, what was afflicting him, would become evident. So he was on borrowed time. He had it hidden for now. Can I just say this? That anything that you're trying to hide in your life, you're only hiding for a season. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. So whatever we're hiding is just going to be hidden for a season. So we're trying to save face by hiding something, but it is only for a time. And Naaman is a warrior at work, but he's a leper at home. I want to talk to you about this tension, this pull between being a warrior at church and a leper at home. Valiant, bold, passionate, spiritual at work, but exposed and leprous and sinful at home. See, the church is full of people that have great people but grievous diseases. Great people but grievous diseases. Great people but grievous. Great warriors but great hidden hurts and hidden wounds. There is this tension between the two. When I meet people and invite them to church, you know what the number one excuse I get in America is? People say, I'm not coming to church because there's a lot of hypocrites there. My response is usually the same. It's like, well, what's one more? Right? I mean, it's like, come join us. Just joking. Because we all live with a level of hypocrisy. We live with a level of duplicity. We know how to stir it up. We know how to put it on. We know how to come to church. We know how to turn on our hunger. We know how to turn on our passion. But what happens when you go home? What happens when Monday hits and Tuesday hits and Wednesday hits? And I know what happens when we come into the atmosphere and we come into the moment. We go, I got that. You're a mighty warrior. I got it. At work. But do you have leprosy at home? Are you pulled between the tension of what you do outwardly and what you do inwardly? See, this is the concept of better than blessed, is that so many people estimate or evaluate their being blessed by their outward condition. Right? That's how we estimate if someone's blessed or not, right? You're on Instagram and you're like, oh my goodness, blessed. Oh wow, look at the car they're driving. Bless. Oh wow, look at the boots he has on. Blessed. Right? Oh, look at Pastor Dustin's in Australia. Blessed. Oh, Pastor Brad's in America. Blessed. And we make an estimation on blessing because of what is happening externally. But blessing is not what happens externally. Blessing is what happens internally. Blessing is what's on the inside. Blessing is things that are not as popular as we might think it is. Have you ever met someone like you saw someone and they're just like super peaceful? And you're like, oh my goodness, blessed. Never. Right? You don't think like somebody comes into church and they're really getting in worship. I mean, like just getting it. And we're all like, oh wow, ooh. Wow, a little liberal with the dance moves there. We never think like, oh wow, look how free they are. They're blessed. God must have saved them from something extreme because look how much freedom they have. So we always estimate blessing based on what's happening externally. And the more we struggle internally, the more we fight to be blessed externally, because we're working with everything we can to make sure that nobody finds out that underneath the armor that we have put up, that there is actually some leprous spots on each of us somewhere hidden down beneath. And so we do our very best. Pastors, leaders, they have to do this sometimes. Right? Because everyone's looking to you. And Sunday comes around fast. You don't have time to struggle too much in between because Sunday's up again. And you're up in front of the people, and people look at you, and they see you have a reserved parking spot and a hospitality team and a green room, and they say, bless. They don't know any of the other circumstances. They don't know what you went through that week. They don't know what you fought to get there. They don't know the hours of prayer and the hours of intercession, the hours of preparation and the hours of study. They don't know the problems. They don't know the tribulation. They don't know the emails you got, the text message you got, the phone call you got at 2 a.m. last night before you came to church to preach. They have no idea. They just see like the green room and the mints. And they're like, gosh, pastor, so blessed. It says in verse 4 that the servant girl that Elisha, the servant girl that Naaman had captured in battle was at his house. It was a maid to his wife. And it says that she knew the man of God. Can I just say this? It's really important to know a man of God. It is really important to know a man or woman of God. Someone to call. Like you can call someone like for good advice, but you need to know somebody to call like when you get a bad doctor's report that is going to give you more than a pat on the back, but is going to be able to pray the prayer of faith and believe God for healing. You need to know a man or woman of God that when you're down in the dumps, instead of just saying you're going to make it, will believe God and intercede and pray to heaven that there would be breakthrough in your life. We need to know a man or a woman of God. This little girl, she knew. She knew the prophet. She said, if you would just go to Elisha, he would pray for you and you would be healed. And it says Naaman set off immediately. As soon as he heard that there was a chance for freedom, he took off. Can I just tell everybody in this room that God's plan for you is not to be somewhat blessed. It is not to be somewhat free. It is not to be Sunday free. It's not to be weekend liberated. It is to walk in 100% freedom. Liberation from my old life. Freedom from my old way of thinking. Freedom from my old way of living. I mean free. Not free on the outside. Free on the inside. I'm free in my mind. I'm free in my heart. That's what it means to be blessed. Blessed is not what I post. Blessed is not what I wear. Blessed is the internal condition of my heart. That's what blessing is. It says he set off immediately. It says he packed up his chariot, 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, 10 sets of clothes. Some of you really like that part. It's like, ooh, options. You know, some of those packers, you know, they don't pack for the days they're gone. They pack for the options they want to have. It's like, you're gone 3 days. I know, but I might change my mind. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. You can look at what the weather's going to be like. You know what it's going to be. It's like, I just want options. That's what Naaman was. He was a man with, he wanted options. This is what's so interesting. In verse 9, it says this. It says, so Naaman with his horses and chariots arrived in style. This is what I picture Naaman as. Naaman's like, man, I'm a little embarrassed that I got to go ask somebody for help. So this is what I'm going to do. Get the chariot out. Shine it up. You guys know what spinners are? Spinners? Put some spinners on that chariot. That's what I'm talking. Throw the sound system on it. Just put the exhaust on it. Double sport mode. Just let it, let me hear it a little bit. Throw on the gold. Throw on the silver. Put on my theme song. All I do is win, 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 no matter. I mean, like, Elijah, you know that song? I'm not a good singer, so you might not. Elisha rose up in style. I mean, you don't want anybody to know that he's suffering. Why would he show up exposed? Why would he show up vulnerable? Nah, he's a warrior. He rose up with the chariot. Rose up with the gold, showing off his riches, showing off his influence, showing off his power. Elisha comes out ready. Where's the man of God? He says, Elisha doesn't even get up. I love this. Elisha doesn't even get up. He's like, who? Name, what song? Bad music choice. Hey, says he sends his servant. He sends his servant with a message. It's like, I mean, if I'm trying to get a hold of my wife, the last thing that I want to happen is, I'm going through puberty again, you hear that? Voice is starting to go, it's the last one, fourth quarter. The last thing I want to do is like when I text my wife is like for like one of her girls that she's discipling to text me back and be like, your wife says, like, oh no, hold on. I asked for Jamie. Okay, so Jamie can text me back. It's like, oh, your wife wants me to tell you that she loves you. Like, she can tell me herself. Like, this is a marriage. We're supposed to be in this together. Elisha doesn't even go to the door. He says he sends his servant with a message. And this is the message that he gives to him. He tells him to go wash in the Jordan River. Now, you got to understand, the Jordan River is the dirtiest river in the entire area. It is not like the beach at Cronulla. All right? This would be like if you ever come to Texas and you go to the beach in Texas, which there actually is a beach in Texas. If you go to that beach and you look at the water, you will think, I will never get in there. All right? I mean, it's just like, it's not blue. It's brown. I mean, it's just like, is that a beach or is that a mud pit? Like, what is that? That's not sand. That's mud. That's what they call our beach. It would be like, it's not saying to go, like take a bath in, like, the nicest place. Go bath in, like, the nastiest, ugliest. And it says this. It says, Naaman got angry. This is what the man of God said. He said, if you go wash in the Jordan River, you will be healed. Now, what does Naaman want? He wants to be healed. So the man of God tells him, if you do what I tell you to do, you will be healed. But Naaman didn't like the way in which the healing came. Okay, now we're going to go somewhere. Naaman got angry because of the way that God wanted to heal him. This sounds like something possibly that we could do. God says, if you do some things, I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm believing in you. You're going to walk in freedom. This is going to happen. We're like, I don't like it. You know, it's funny how we negotiate with God. It's like, you know, I want you to tithe 10%. Okay, God, 10%. That sounds great. Now, I was thinking 8. You said 10. I said 8. Can we settle for 9? We're negotiating with the God of the universe. This is not a good situation, but this is where Naaman finds himself. He is actually angry at God, and he's angry for a couple of different reasons. Naaman was angry because he thought that Elisha should have come to him. I want to speak to every person in this room that has a hidden battle, hidden struggle, mental illness, struggles with depression, discouragement. The enemy will try to tell you that the people in your life should see your leprosy. And you have to be careful, because you can suffer inwardly for years waiting for your pastor to see what you're struggling with. But friends, I got news for you. He can't see past your armor. She can't see past your worship. They can't see past what you're putting on, but we expect them to see. Don't they know I'm hurting? Don't they know I'm burnt out? Don't they know I'm struggling? Don't they know my marriage is going down? No, they don't. Because they're seeing what everyone else sees, what you put on Instagram, which looks like you're doing great. And the last time they saw you for 3 seconds at church and they shook your hand, they said, "How are you doing?" And you said, "Ooh." And now the information that they have to go on is the information that you gave them and that you posted. And so they said, "Man, they're doing great." And inwardly you're dying. And Naaman was mad because Elisha couldn't see that he was struggling and couldn't see and didn't take the initiative to come to him. Can I tell you, if you're struggling, you're going to have to make the first move to come to God and to come to your leaders and to come to people around you. You have to be vulnerable. You've got to come to a place of authenticity where you can say, "I'm struggling. I have a question. I have a problem. I need help. I need..." It's not a great place for Christians to be at, because we don't want to show weakness. We want to show up to church in style. You know what I'm saying? Like front row parking. People seeing us. People greeting us. "Reserve seat, please." Like, where's my son? He's 4, and he goes to a lot of places that I speak with me and at the church. And so he's always got like a reserve seat. So we went to a church, and this is really embarrassing. He walked in. He goes, "Dad, where's my name tag?" And I'm like, "You're going on a mission trip, young man. That's it. I'm casting that entitlement spirit out of you right now. You are going to Haiti, young man. You are going to sit there with no reserve seat, no chair for that matter. Like, you're going on the mission field." That entitlement in believers is crippling. And so Naaman is angry that Elisha didn't come to him. Naaman is angry because he thinks that God should have healed him instantly. Instantly. He says, "I thought that he'd wave his hand over my diseased area and I would be healed." Isn't that the way we want God to heal us? That's the way. We don't want there to be any time. We don't want there to be endure any process. We just want a touch. And I love a touch from God. But can I tell you something? There is always a walk after a touch. A touch of encounter will touch you. It'll heal you. It'll set you free in that moment. But if you go back to the same people, the same places, the same patterns, you will end up in the same predicament. You have got to step out of what you've been in. You've got to make some changes, or else you will end up back in the same place that you just got. If you want to be better than blessed, you can't do what Naaman did and get angry that God hasn't waved his hand over your disease spot. Maybe a disease spot in your finances. Maybe it's in your attitude. Maybe it's in your mental health. Maybe it's in your relationships. Maybe it's in your emotional health. Maybe it's in your past. Maybe it's in your past church life. Maybe it's been in the past leaders or past pastors that have hurt. And you want God to wave his hand over you and for you to be healed. That's what Elisha wanted, that's what Naaman wanted, but Elisha said that there was a process involved. The last thing that it says that Naaman was angry about, because he thought there was actually a better way. Oh, he thought there was a better... Elisha says, "This is what you got to do to be healed. Just do this and do this, and you can be healed." He goes, "Why the Jordan River? What about..." And he names off other rivers. He's like starting the negotiation process with God. He's like, "You know what? That river's great, but like, what about the other rivers?" It's like, "They're all wet. Get in." Like, what is your problem? Do you want to be healed or not? No, we want to choose how we get healed. We want to choose when we get healed. We want to choose why we get healed. We want to negotiate with God. Is this going to be my moment? Is it? And when it's not our moment, we're angry at him. So let me tell you something. If you're going to walk in freedom, if you're going to be better than blessed, there has to be a fight in you to not settle for where you are, and you have to recognize that God has for you an element and a dimension of freedom that is not partial freedom, that is not just church freedom, but it's every day, 24/7, 365 freedom. You can be freedom from your perversity. You can have freedom from your lust. You can have freedom from that depression. You can have freedom from that anxiety. You can have freedom from those panic attacks. You can. Is anybody here? I'm telling you, you can have freedom. So there's three things that I'll give you as we begin to close that will help you get free. They're not like super, like, it's not like a heavy revy, like major revelation. It's actually practical. That's what we call like big revelation in America, heavy revy. Give me a heavy revy, Pastor, so I can be blessed again. No, what we need is some practicals. I like to say we need some handles. Put some handles on. The revelation is awesome. I'm fired up. But what now? We got to go back to work. We got to go back to our lives. Conference doesn't last all year. Conference was powerful. Conference was encounter. Conference shifted something in you. But there's a freedom that you have to walk in after to keep the freedom that you just experienced. And that means you have to fight for humility. Because it's humility that says, I have a need and I have a problem. I need help. Pastor, I need you to help me. You know, before your marriage goes down the toilet, you should ask for help. Do you know when we get marriages, it's too late. People come to us after they've already crashed and burned, after there's already bitterness out there, they've already made up their mind, and they say, we need help. But if they would have had the humility when the first tremors were happening, when there wasn't the chemistry, when there wasn't the connection, when there wasn't communication, when there was an affair, when there was a mistake, if they would have communicated right then, we would be able to walk them through into 100% freedom and healing. You have to fight for humility. You have to fight for process. Oh, that's not a fun word in church, is it? Process. Because we want him to wave his hand over us and for us to be healed. We're going to pray for people tonight. You're going to feel the touch of God. You're going to feel the presence of God. But I'm going to tell you this. As much as I love that, there is life after that. And we have to have the personal responsibility to walk through the process. And what God begins in you tonight, you have to carry out tomorrow and next week and next month. You've got to walk this thing out. You have to fight for process. And not only do you have to fight for process, is you have to fight for obedience. Now let me quantify this, because some people fight for process in that they're just waiting for God to come through, waiting, but not obeying. This is like, is this too simple tonight? They're waiting, but there is no obedience. Naaman could have waited for years in the process, but would have never gotten healed until he obeyed. When he obeyed, the healing began to flow. It was about, I think about 2 months ago now, in the States, there was a pastor by the name of Andrew, and he's a mighty man of God. He's 30 years old, 3 kids, a beautiful wife, an incredible church, growing in California, exploding. Andrew went through some like seasons of depression, some discouragement. So the board met and they said, man, well, you got some issues. You need to take a sabbatical. You need to take some time off. So he agreed, and him and his wife, they took months off. They went and they saw counselors, and they spent time together as a family. They just decompressed. The church was sad that they were gone, but they were so happy that they were getting help. And he came back, and I watched the Sunday that he came back, and we, in our pastoral friend group and community, we celebrated him coming back, because he came back and he preached and he stood with his wife on the stage. This is September. This is just the beginning of this month. He stood on the stage and celebrated with his wife, and the church applauded. They were so excited to have him back. He said, next Sunday, I'm going to be starting a series on overcoming mental illness, overcoming depression and discouragement. As there's good and bad in the story, so I want you to hear me out, because that week, Andrew, no one knew, but he began to suffer in his mind and his thoughts. If you saw him, you would say he was blessed. If you saw his Instagram, you would see that he's back and he's blessed. And the Saturday night, before the Sunday morning that he was going to start his series, he took his life. 30 years old, 3 kids, a wife, a pastor, a man of God. By everybody's estimation, blessed. Last week was the first week that I was actually able to even just talk about this, because it hit too close to home to even try to communicate or verbalize. It hit me in such a raw place because I realized that all of us have hidden struggles and inward battles that we try to manage. We're not really good at getting freedom. We're good at walking in balance. And if we can manage sin, or if we can manage discouragement, if we can manage it so it doesn't rear its ugly head, we're okay. We can manage it. We can just pace it. We can just keep it under the covers. We can keep it under the surface. We can still show up and serve. We can still worship. We can still sing. We can still lead. We're managing. But we're not free. And this poor man, he gave in to this battle. Gave in to the fight that was over his mind and his heart and his family. And on the Sunday he was supposed to start his series, he was laying in a mortuary. I'm not trying to be too heavy tonight, and that's why I battled with this message, but I feel like God, in his heart of compassion and love, wants us to go so much deeper. If we're going to, the conference this weekend was expansion. If we're going to expand, the only way you want to expand is the right way. You do not want to expand outwardly, but not expand inwardly. You do not want to go to the next level outwardly, but fail inwardly. You do not want to grow to a level of gifting that your character is not strong enough to uphold you. And I believe what God's saying tonight is he wants to set you free, no matter what the struggle, no matter what the disability, no matter what the injury, no matter what the wound, no matter what the hurt. God wants to set you free, and he'll touch you in a moment, but your deliverance is walked out over a lifetime. He'll touch you in a moment, but freedom is attained step by step, day by day, hour by hour, service by service, talk after talk. Can I go a little bit deeper? Let me give you one more thing. The only way that this man received healing was because of the servant girl. The servant girl knew the man of God. Now this is what's really got me, Andrew. The servant girl was the only person that he trusted to see beneath the armor. He would change at home in front of his wife and this servant girl. At work, he was a warrior. But at home, the only person he exposed himself was the people that he loved and the people he didn't think mattered. But he didn't know that the vulnerability to the servant girl, the only person that he was vulnerable with, was the vehicle of freedom. The only person that he let his armor down with was the vehicle of freedom. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you, is that God's heart for you is beyond your external blessing. His heart for you is beyond the facade and beyond the mask. His heart for you is really your heart. Not what you have, not what you can do, not your giftings, not your talents, not what we can see. God's heart for you is your heart. And the person that he was willing to expose himself to and be vulnerable with was the vehicle of destiny and the vehicle of healing. Verse 14 says this. So he did it. He went down and he immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times. He followed the orders of the holy man. His skin was healed. It was like the skin of a little baby. He was as good as new. Hold on. Not just healed. God's not just trying to heal you. He's trying to restore you. God's healing for you is not just getting by. God's touch on your life is to restore you. It is to bring you back all the way to the beginning condition. Skin like a baby, brand new. God wants to restore your marriage, restore your life, restore your mind, restore your intellect, restore your heart. God wants to restore it. He didn't just heal it. It was better than blessed. But that's what better than blessed is. I'm not just blessed. Blessed, I'm better than blessed. Internally, I'm blessed. Internally, I'm free. Internally, I'm on fire. Internally, I love Jesus. Not just externally, internally, I love Him. Would you stand up with me? I don't mean to get emotional tonight, but this one's personal for me. Especially when you live a public life. You're on stages and platforms and you're leading. It's difficult because I struggle. I go through bad days, bad seasons. Did you know after 21 years of preaching, I still get nervous? Did you know 3 minutes before I came out on this stage, I was in that room, the green room, better than blessed. And I sat down and I said, Jesus, I don't know if I got what it takes. I don't know if it's the best message or the right message. But would you take my feeble attempts at preaching and speaking, and would you just let there be just one person, just one person that needs to hear that they can let their armor down? Just one person that hears that they can drop the wall, that they can drop the facade. Just one person that realizes, that understands that God cares about more than their external blessing. God wants them better than blessed. Better than blessed. I want us just for a moment, and we're going to dismiss here in a couple moments, and if you got to go, you go, and Pastor Brad will dismiss us, but we're going to take a couple moments, and we're just going to pray for people, and I got a couple words that I want to give to people. If you want to stay, I know it's been a long week.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.